The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Most job boards overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. That's not smart, but ZipRecruiter finds the right people for you and actively invites them to apply. So you get qualified candidates fast. Now that is smart. Try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Preview day. That's what we got. Friday, October 12th. Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Stefania Bell, the crew hanging with you, getting you ready for everything you need to know for week six. The Giants, the Saints, and Alliance are on a bye this week. We're getting ready for everything.
I got it. I heard it, Field, and that was funny.
Thank you, Daniel.
You know what? I was like, wait a second. In my brain, so slow. Three teams, wait, there should be four. Oh, I see, because the
Giants,
and I was like, no, they
Saints
played last
and Lions
night.
On
oh,
a bye.
But yep. Did they show? I see. Field, you are witty in the morning.
Yeah, you know, I'm up early. I'm a coffee guy in the morning.
Yeah.
You set the tone.
Yeah, anyway.
He's a tone setter. Makes the bed in the hotel. Yeah. He's a tone setter.
Did you notice that Not Cool Keith gave the dig right there, Field? He's the one who said tone setter. That was a little jab, a little sarcasm on the Field Yates making the bed from Not Cool Keith.
I agree.
He's feeling confident because his Browns have won two games.
He's feeling good about himself.
That was not a dig at Field at all.
No, it was a little comedy.
Keith doesn't dig.
It's weird. He looked right at me and he was like, watch this dig I'm going to do on Field. And then he said it, which is weird.
Totally. He's like, and then because I'm so nice, no one will believe it was actually
right.
A
game. Exactly.
I'm so
that's it.
He might, you know what? We might need Secret Squirrel. We might need to change his name to Passive Aggressive Keith.
Oh, that'd be so good.
That'd be so good. Passive Aggressive Keith. Thirsty Kyle throws up Super Cool Keith on the screen right there. We are the crew. Are we really your crew? You just said it's the crew's all here. So are we a crew?
So little. No, you are not my crew. Stefania is part of my crew. Yes.
Who's in Field's crew?
You want my crew?
But I understood. I'm asking who else is in the crew. So like when you go looking for trouble on the mean streets of Nantucket.
Right.
When you put the sweater around your neck and you're ready to go stir up trouble. Who's in the crew? So Stefania's in the crew. I'm not in the crew. Who else is in the crew?
Daniel Dopp.
Right.
Damien.
Uh-huh. Random Damien that no one knows who he
and
is.
Kyle. Right?
And Kyle.
Yeah, they got a 5-person crew. We got a really big team.
Pretty much everyone but me?
Correct.
Game preview.
Well done there, Daniel. Let's begin with the Bucs and the Falcons. The game total is 57.5 points. We expect a lot of offense in this game. The Bucs were on a bye last week, but a reminder that sometimes you're making decisions between the wide receiver 2 in Tampa Bay, Deshaun Jackson, Chris Godwin. Matthew, can Deshaun Jackson continue the early season magic he's had so far? Because he has been very effective down the field.
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I'm just being completely honest on this. Because one of the issues for Deshaun Jackson last year was he could never get on the same page with Jameis Winston. We have yet to see Jameis Winston and Deshaun Jackson be good together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you would watch those games last year and it was just he overthrew Jackson by a couple of steps. He underthrew him. They could never seem to get on the same page. And it was one of the things that you heard in the offseason from Jameis Winston that he came out and said, like, you know what? That's on me. I've got to get better. And so supposedly him and Jackson worked out this summer, but obviously with the exception of whatever, you know, a half against the Bears, we haven't seen Jameis Winston and Deshaun Jackson really play together. So I don't really have a great feel for how this is going to play out, especially given the emergence of Chris Godwin. I mean, if you look at sort of the numbers between the two of them, Jackson certainly has, this is last year in 2017, 60 targets to just 40 for Godwin. Jackson played two less games as well. So significantly more targets. About 80 more yards. They both got a touchdown. Jackson targeted on 21% of routes. Godwin targeted on 23% of routes. But I honestly think it is a bit of a coin flip. It is sort of how lucky do you feel? I personally rank Jackson over Godwin just because he's more of a veteran and Winston came out this summer and said to make a point of it, but I don't feel great about either one.
Stefania, we don't know if O.J. Howard is going to play, but that values that impacts Cameron Brate's value. What's your read on O.J. Howard's availability for Sunday?
Well, it's interesting because at the start of the week, you would have said he's not going to play. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still too early coming off this knee sprain. But then he's put in these limited practices, and there seems to be some chatter about don't count him out. There's a chance.
Yeah, that's the chatter.
That's right. We have done that voice before. It sounds like there is a possibility that he plays. I don't feel great. You know, when guys are really fresh off the knee sprain, this is kind of like Evan Engram, you know, kind of a similar injury.
Yep.
Looked good. And then it was like, no holding back. You know, he's a little more sore. So, I guess Friday will be the big day. Watch for the practice reveal today. But it sounds like they're at least keeping the window open that he could show up.
If he doesn't play, there's a really good spot here for Cameron Brate Matthew because the numbers show it. Jameis Winston loves throwing to Cameron Brate.
He was targeted on 20% of his routes with Winston this year, you know, in just whatever the limited time. Last year, he led the Buccaneers in red zone touchdowns and target per red zone route run with Winston under center. My expectation is that even if O.J. Howard is active in this game, it probably is on a limited snap count. It's probably not a significant role here. So, yeah, I think given where Cameron Brate is and the connection with Jameis Winston, I have him as a top 10 play this week. Even if O.J. Howard is active, he'd be a low-end tight end one for me.
Devontae Freeman, Stefania, has been banged up throughout the year. What's the latest on his availability for Sunday? I've seen two DNPs for him this week in practice.
Yeah, that's not good. And I think the worrisome thing, people might see it and assume it's this knee issue, and he actually has a bone contusion on top of it. That's not an insignificant problem, especially mm-hmm. for a running back. And I think, you know, we've talked about this before, Dan Quinn on Fridays. You got to be able to go out there and show them that you can run, be explosive, and that's when they make their decision. I will not be surprised if Devontae Freeman is held out this week.
All right, so let's keep an eye on the possibility of Devontae Freeman sitting. Let's imagine that's the case, Matthew. Where does Tevin Coleman slide up to, and where does Ito Smith slide up to in the rankings for week six?
This is if Devontae Freeman is out.
Correct.
Tevin Coleman, that's a great question. Tevin Coleman would probably be in the 15 range.
Yep. I mean,
he'd be a
RB2.
He'd definitely be a mid-tier RB2 here. In Ito Smith, probably in the late 20s, high 30s.
Ooh,
like
okay.
Flex, you know, like borderline flex play consideration here. I mean, Ito Smith has had, you know, kind of a nice little run here. And, you know, we talked about this the other day. But as Josina Anderson discussed on Fantasy Football Now last week, even when Freeman was healthy last week, they expected a 40-40-20 split between Freeman, Coleman, and Ito Smith. Smith, who scored a couple of times this season, they like him around the goal line here in what we expect to be a high-scoring game. Yeah, like if you're desperate at running back and Freeman's out, Ito Smith is worthy of a consideration there because he's definitely a chance he gets into the end zone.
It's a great matchup, and we all have Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley inside our top 37. Matthew, you and I have Mohamed Sanu as top 22 plays, Calvin Ridley a little bit further behind. So there's not that any of us disagree with the possibility of using Ridley or Sanu. Just a reminder, Sanu is in a great, great spot here. He's got at least 15 fantasy points in three straight games. He's been great in PPR scoring, and the Bucs defense has been atrocious. He's available in, I think, around 40% of leagues is Mohamed Sanu. You're looking for a last-minute flex.
I would just say one thing, because some people might be worried, limited a couple days with the hip injury. I would point out that this was the same designation as last week when four catches, 73 yards, and a touchdown.
All right.
So expect him to play.
Yeah, thank you. Available in almost 40% of ESPN leagues. So if he's out there, certainly worth the consideration. Obviously, he plays the majority of his snaps out of the slot field. It's worth noting that from the slot, Tampa Bay has allowed a league high in yards and touchdowns, the second most completions, the second highest completion percentage. They struggle in all areas of the secondary, but certainly against the slot there. And so Sanu, to your point, is somebody that comes in at 21 for me in the wide receiver ranks. He made my love list this week. Last question, just very quickly, I want to mention this. Jameis Winston is still available in a ton of leagues, and I don't understand that he's 48% available in leagues. This is somebody that even if you have a good quarterback, you should pick up because there will be trade value here. I believe he's a top 8 fantasy quarterback, not just this week, but for the rest of the way, given that offense, given the skill set around him and how bad that defense and run game is.
This game is Atlanta's favorite in this game by 3.5 points. I'm taking the Falcons. Who you got?
Falcons are a 3.5 point favorite. They are at home. Give me the Falcons. Go Birds.
Stefania?
I don't know what that was.
Birds.
But
the Eagles are sort of the birds, but whatever.
I will take the Falcons.
I will also take the Falcons. It's a sweep.
There we go. Clean sweep there. Let's go to London across the pond. Seahawks and Raiders.
This Cheerio.
48-point point total. I don't even know who the home
team
is.
Are there two teams
matter.
That could travel farther to London?
No,
I don't think so.
No, but
don't know, love. Oh, hello, no. Governor.
The weekly Russell Wilson dilemma is upon us. Is Russell Wilson worth a start in your leagues? Matthew, is there anything about this matchup that suggests to you that Russell Wilson belongs in your lineup?
Well, certainly Oakland is not particularly good. So that certainly, you know, if there's a couple of things you want to hang your hat on here in terms of Russell Wilson, right? It's a couple of things. I mean, first off, 3 touchdown passes last week. So that was positive to see that. It seems like his pass catching core is starting to get a little bit better. I know Doug Baldwin didn't do anything, but it did allow David Moore to get into the end zone twice. Raiders are 23rd against the pass. They're 30th in scoring defense. So it is a bad defense. They don't get pressure on the quarterback for some reason. I don't know why that is. John Gruden can't seem to figure it out, but whatever, for whatever reason, they can't seem to get pressure on the quarterback. Feels like they could use somebody there. So those are all the positives for Russ Wilson. The problems are, is that this is a run first team. I mean, you know, they are averaging just 24 pass attempts per game over the last 3. They have the lowest pass percentage in the NFL. So in a game that we expect them to certainly not be down, to be competitive, we expect them to continue to run, which is one of the reasons why Russell Wilson, who also himself isn't running, just 42 rushing yards this entire year. Last year, he averaged 36 a game. So for me, Field, you know, Chris Carson made the love list this week, and Russell Wilson made the hate list entirely because I think this is a run-heavy game for him. So he's just outside my top 10 this week.
And Chris Carson ranks inside all of our top 15, Stefania at 13, me at 14, Matthew at 15. Look at that harmony right there amongst the rankers. Doug Baldwin's off the injury report, Stefania. There's no more concerns about him being injured and dealing with that knee.
Except for this one concern about him not being involved in the offense at all. I mean, look, I don't think you can dismiss the knee injury. He said that knee was not a factor in why he was utilized so little in last week's game. But that all being said, and he may be healthy this week, we know there's the potential for his knee to act up later on.
In the meantime, you know, we can't predict that knee acting up at a certain moment. We all have him ranked as a flex play this week. No higher than 23, no lower than 29. You're just hoping against a bad Oakland secondary, and perhaps Russell Wilson says, I only got you the football once last week. I owe it to you to force feed at the issue this week for Doug Baldwin and the Seahawks. Jared Cook, and every week starter.
Bollocks.
Bollocks works.
Bollocks, if that's how you felt after Doug Baldwin. Secret Scrolls giving me the wrap it up sign. No, I'm not wrapping it up. This is the London game. You didn't book Nat Coombs for us this week.
Also, I think Bollocks might be a swear. Be a British swear. So be careful. In any event, Jared Cook, should he be an every week starter?
What is that? Go ahead. What did it say, Secret Scroll?
Go ahead, Field.
Jared Cook.
You're no fun. You guys are no fun.
With a tight end abyss, should he be an every week starter? I'm not trying to poke the bear here. I'm just asking the question seriously.
Poking. Well, with me? Are you asking with me? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Secret Scroll was
only you
me.
Are allowed to talk about Jared Cook because he's your favorite.
I think I'm the highest on Jared. I think I'm the highest on Jared Cook. Like I am not a fan of Jared Cook, but production is production, and they're certainly looking for him as well. Remember, he leads the Raiders with 4 different end zone targets this season. He leads the Raiders with 10 different red zone targets. So end zone targets and red zone targets, he is the leader of the Oakland Raiders. I expect the Raiders to have to throw in this game as well. So, yeah, given the state of the tight end position, Jared Cook comes in at 5 for me this week.
I just got to be honest with you guys. I'm that person who says no one can complain about NFL games because we wait all year for them to begin. But this game is such a low watchability score. All that being said, the Seahawks are 2.5-point favorites, and I think they win and cover. How about you, Matthew?
I agree with you. Give me the Seahawks.
Spagna?
Yeah, Seahawks.
Daniel?
I think because Seattle has less of travel, because they're already farther north.
Right.
I think
great
they have to go less.
Yes, so I'm going to cut advantage.
I will take the Seahawks there because of the travel issue.
Very quickly, just because we're talking about tight ends and it's such a desperate position, I just want to say that I think
When did we talk about tight ends?
Jared Cook.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, listen, it is a brutal position and people out there are just looking for anyone with a pulse. And I do think that if you're looking for a sleeper tight end, I do think Nick Vanette, who is top 10 in the NFL in terms of being targeted on routes among tight ends this year. And you think about the Raiders, who struggle against tight ends. They're given the sixth most yards per attempt to tight ends. I do think Nick Vannett is a sleeper this week. There, fine.
It's also on the injury report, but we expect him to play. The Ravens go to Tennessee to play the Titans. Over-under there is 41 points. That's a low number right there. Daniel wanted to have the conversation. I understand why, about the Ravens running backs this week. I've got Alex Collins ranked ahead of Buck Allen. Matthew has them reversed. Stefania has them right next to each other. So you're kind of, we kind of have all three bases right. Covered. I mean, guys, like, what's the differentiating factor here for Allen versus Collins? Collins gets more work. Allen seems to find the end zone more. So when you're deciding on your rankings for Alex Collins or Buck Allen, to me, this is nothing more than, I mean,
But here's the thing. I think everyone thinks Collins gets more work, but that's not actually true. Buck Allen has outsnapped Alex Collins 182 to 164 on the season. He has seven more catches than Collins has targets. He has four more red zone touches than Collins this season.
Right. So how many touches, though, I guess is the point, is like,
I believe I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe last week I'm almost positive Buck Allen had more total touches than Alex Collins did last week. I'm almost positive.
So I've got 66 total touches for Alex Collins.
Okay.
All right. And I have got a total of 55 touches for Javorius Allen. So my point is that Collins gets more work.
Right.
Allen scores more touchdowns.
What they do last week though. Last week he out-touched Alex Collins.
Yep.
So maybe there's a little bit of a changing of the guard here. You certainly can't feel confident. In terms of your confidence, it feels like Buck Allen's role has only increased, and it feels like Alex Collins' role has only decreased since the start of the season. Do you think that's fair?
I don't think Alex Collins' role has increased that much.
I just think it sort of feels that way because you see Buck Allen go in the end zone. And as somebody who has him and has used him as a flex play, it was like the first 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, no, this is a fluke. And then in the third week when I really needed a flex play, I'm like, well, no, he might be the guy who gets in the end zone, and that's what I'm banking on. That's why literally he only got one spot higher for me.
I'm just saying I think expectations or perception coming into the season was Alex Collins was going to be the workhorse. And then all of a sudden, to your Stefania's point, it was just like, oh, Buck Allen. Oh, interesting. Oh, that's a vulture. Oh, no, actually. And then it keeps going on. You're like, oh, you know what? Buck Allen's a thing. Wow, Buck Allen's a thing. And then Alex Collins fumbles a couple of times in crucial situations. You're like, hello. And then last week, Buck Allen actually out-touches Alex Collins. Like, he had more total touches last week than Alex Collins. Here's Buck Allen's touches by week. 9, 11, 9, 12, 14. So it's, with the exception of that week 3 game, it's heading in the right direction for Buck Allen.
They also played an extra quarter last week.
Yeah, of course.
So, I don't think this is like some major trend where Buck Allen's all of a sudden escalating up and Alex Collins is escalating down is my point here.
I think it's gradual, but I disagree with you. I think, yes, I do think Buck Allen is trending up, and I think Alex Collins is either trending flat or slightly trending down. Am I saying that all of a sudden Buck Allen's going to get 25 carries and Alex Collins is going to be a complimentary back? No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that at the start of the season, if you were projecting this, you would have said 20 touches for Collins and 7 for Buck Allen, and now it's like it's 14-15 each. And so that is my argument here. Because I think Buck Allen has the better chance to get into the end zone, I think that's why I have him ranked higher. I say Buck Allen gets more fantasy points this week than Alex Collins.
That sounds great. I think that Alex Collins outscores Buck Allen in fantasy this week. Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
Another win for me after 14 targets last week. Do we all of a sudden trust the volume of John Brown? Is he a volume freak? Is he a target monster, if you will, after that 14 target performance against the Browns last week?
I don't know that he's a target monster, but it certainly was encouraging because he was scoring at a high rate. But that was always kind of the knock on John Brown, was he wasn't getting the volume. And then you see the volume increase and you're like, okay, there you go. Yeah, I mean, you know, I love my little John Brown, so I'm the highest among the three of us on him. Look, Titans have allowed a touchdown on over 18% of deep pass attempts. That's the third highest rate. We know that Joe Flacco loves to chuck it deep, especially to Smokey Brown. So I think he's a legit wide receiver 3 this week. I think he is a viable flex play as well.
I think there are going to be people that are going to say, if Deion Lewis does not perform this week, could he be dropped? Have we gotten to that point, or conversely, have we gotten to the point where you think that maybe he deserves to be played this weekend?
I'm at neither point. I'm in no man's land. I'm on the fence.
I'm rolling the dice. I went high on Deion Lewis. And I think it's just because of his potential to be versatile. His volume of receptions, 21 receptions over five games. He hasn't been particularly efficient. I think he's fumbled recently. Like, I feel like he needs to get going. But I also think part of it, you know, if you look at the five games, you can't lump them all together because there was a times when Mariota wasn't in and, you know, we felt like their offense really wasn't in sync. And so to me, they're really just starting out because we didn't have Mariota, and then Mariota was not himself when he first came back. So I still think there's an opportunity for Deion Lewis to move forward in terms of his production, but I don't know that we're there yet. I'm rolling the dice.
I jumped the gun on thinking this Titans offense is going to make a quantum leap this offseason. I thought that, you know, maybe the ingenuity of Matt LaFleur coming from Los Angeles was going to really dramatically shift the way this team plays offense and the output in general. Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry, maybe except for Corey Davis, they've all underachieved.
Well, they have completely underachieved. Just to find, I think Stefania brings up a good point, though. I think it's been, Mariota's been in and out of the lineup. He hasn't been 100% healthy. They lose Delanie Walker, who was a big piece to that offense as well. I don't think people appreciate. They lose Rashard Matthews. I mean, what, he's no longer on the team. That was somebody
that was by choice.
I understand, but I understand that there's that's not an injury related thing, but I mean, there was whatever. He was expected to be part of the offense coming into the season when Matt LaFleur was doing his planning, when Marcus Mariota was thinking about how they were going to do it. So I think to that point, I have more confidence in Deion Lewis turning it around than I do Derrick Henry, because at least there's been some volume there for Lewis, at least 12 touches in every game this season. He's got a significant snap edge over Henry when they're trailing, which is, seems to be a decent amount here. I think he's sort of borderline flexus, and as we get into the meat of the bye weeks, I'm not dropping him just yet because I think there's, you know, a little bit of usefulness with him.
Yeah, Stefan, you've got a lot of confidence in the Titans this week, apparently, because you're saying you should start Corey Davis. He had a wonderful game a couple of weeks ago, and then last week in a tough matchup against the Bills, was brought back down to earth a little bit, 4 catches, 49 yards, but you think he can get back on track against the Ravens this weekend?
I can't, you know, I think we've seen that teams have scored points on the Ravens. It's not like they have been, you know, able to shut all their opponents out. So I think there's an opportunity here for the Titans. I'm still rolling on this theme that the Titans have not yet gotten in sync and that there's an opportunity to do so. I do think Marcus Mariota looked better. And I think another week of him being healthy and practicing and what Corey Davis did last week, I think there's an opportunity for them. So.
Two teams. Well,
I was going to rebut my fellow colleague here and say, I disagree. Corey Davis made the hate list this week. I think this Ravens defense is better than maybe you give it credit for, give them credit for. They're allowing a touchdown on just 3% of pass attempts this season at the third lowest rate in the NFL. Remember they got Jimmy Smith? Just remember they got Jimmy Smith back as well. They're allowing opponents to complete a league low 54% of passes this season. That would be the lowest rate over the last 6 years. And so Marcus Mariota, who I've said this before and he has yet to prove me wrong, I'm not convinced he's any good when it comes to NFL starting franchise quarterbacks. You know, for a guy that went in the top two of the NFL draft, I'm just not convinced he's met that kind of expectation here. Stefania, you have Corey Davis at 18. I have him at 31. I say Corey Davis is outside the top 25 of wide receivers this week in fantasy points.
I feel a board bet coming on. I say Corey Davis is inside the top 25 of fantasy wide receivers this week.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
The board's getting a lot of action today. I have a difficult time figuring
America and the world are happy.
There you go. Absolutely.
I don't know what either one of these teams is. I'm having a hard time figuring it out. They're both 3-2. The Ravens are favored by 2.5 points. I got the Ravens in this game. Daniel, who do you got?
Yeah, I also have the Ravens in this one, but I don't feel good about it.
You shouldn't. I got the Titans and their high-flying offense with Deion Lewis and Corey Davis.
Matthew?
Yeah, Raven up!
Beautiful fall birthdays, anniversaries. I'm sorry, between fall birthdays, anniversaries, and big celebrations. Beautiful fall birthdays, too. There are a lot of days to keep track of. And let's face it,
I take it back. I'm going Titans. Sorry, go. Sorry, I changed my mind. Tighten up.
Could have totally waited 30 more seconds for me to finish a live read, but that would be off brand.
Oh, yes, exactly.
So when your back is against the wall and her birthday or anniversary is just days away, trust 1-800-Flowers.com to have your back. They'll get your bouquet where it needs to go for a price you won't believe. Right now, when you order a dozen red or multicolored roses for only $29.99, 1-800-Flowers will give you another dozen plus a vase absolutely free. Choose between a beautiful arrangement of red or multicolored roses, perfect for birthdays, anniversaries, screw-ups, or board bet victories. Dozen red or multicolored roses for only $29.99 plus another dozen and a vase for free is an unreal deal. To order a dozen or red red or multicolored roses, plus an extra bouquet and a vase for $29.99. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter the code FFF. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code FFF.
I need to really quickly say, in that read, you said both the vase both and vase.
I know.
Every time we do it, so a long time ago when we did this on the show, some people like took us to task on vase versus vase. So now every live read, I would say both of them.
Well, I personally
like that. Pleaser.
Secret Squirrel, will you do me a favor real quick? I need you to call 1-800-Flowers. I need you to order a bouquet for Field and Stefania and just sign my name on it. Dear Stefania, dear Field.
Because he's conceding the board bet already. Sorry. I heard in there that you give him out when you lose board bets.
Sorry for crushing you like a grape. Sincerely, Matthew Berry.
I can do that.
If you can do that.
Do you have
send a nice bouquet. It sounds like that's a good deal.
I don't have the number saved in my phone. Do you know what it is?
1-800-Flowers. It's 1-800-Flowers is what it is.
Code FFF.
Make sure you use the code FFF. Because you know what? If you call 1-800-Flowers and you don't, or you go to 1-800-Flowers.com and you don't use the code FFF, we don't get credit for it. And then you know what happens? We have to start charging for the podcast. You want this free. Come on now.
Go
support
to the Jets.
Our sponsors.
The Colts play the Jets this weekend. Jets are 2.5-point favorites. Andrew Luck has thrown the ball an astonishing 121 times over the past 2 weeks. How confident are you, Matthew, and Andrew Luck against this Jets defense that last week kind of befuddled the Broncos for the most of the game until some late game garbage time?
Have you ever been befuddled?
Yeah.
When was the last time you were befuddled?
Every day.
How did my life lead me to sit to sit next to Matthew Berry every day of my life? Where did it go wrong? That's fair.
I've thought about that many times. Yeah.
Yes, I don't blame you. I do have confidence here in Andrew Luck. I mean, the volume there. And when you talk about the volume of Andrew Luck, it is on a historic pace. He made the love list as well this week. Get this. So the last 3 years, Ben Roethlisberger had three different games of 38 or more completions from 2014 to 2017. That was most in the NFL over that three-year stretch. Andrew Luck has three such games this year.
He's a beast.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So the volume here against a Jets secondary that candidly has struggled, they're in the bottom half of the NFL in terms of passing yards allowed. You know, for the quarterbacks that have thrown at least 35 passes against the Jets, it's over 1,000 passing yards. And those are like Bortles and Keenum and Stafford. So, it's the last 4 years. Thirsty Kyle is correcting me. Last 4 years in terms of the Ben
stat. We talked yesterday about Nyheim Hines with Marlon Mack back to practice in full, which gives us an indication that he will be playing on Sunday. Does Nyheim Hines remain as a flex play for you?
For me, yes, he does. Yeah, I mean, we don't know what Marlon Mack's role will be, but I don't think it'll be similar to Nyheim Hines in the sense that when they get in passing situations, we just talked about the volume there. It's going to be Hines. You know, he's fourth among running backs in receptions this year. Like, Saquon Barkley, James White, and Alvin Kamara are the only running backs with more receptions than Nyheim Hines. 22 touches last week. When you think about his touches, 5 to 10 to 13 to 22, it's heading in the right direction. He's earning the trust of that coaching staff and of Andrew Luck. And so in a team that's throwing a lot, yeah, give me the pass-catching running back here. We all have him in the 20s as a flex consideration.
You know, Stefania, Matthew just mentioned how many completions Andrew Luck has had so far this year. And we all know they're going to have to throw it. And with no T.Y. Hilton, most likely this weekend, someone's going to catch passes for the Colts. And by the way, just to quickly tie this, Eric Ebron might not be available either. Who's going to be catching? So the question, I guess, to you is, who could be available? And if you had to throw a dart at an Indianapolis Colts wide receiver, which one would it be at?
Well, it would not be Zach Pascal, who I threw into my lineup out of desperation last week and almost found the ball in the end zone, but dropped a significant number of passes. I mean, this has been the problem, right? The receivers, T.Y. is so reliable for Andrew Luck, and he's not going to have him. Not this week and maybe beyond. But Ryan Grant, Chester Rogers, it's those two. I still feel like Ryan Grant is probably his preferred target of the remaining pass catchers.
Interesting.
Because it goes back to training camp. When I was there and watching, it was Ryan Grant by T.Y. Hilton side by side all the time. And Andrew Luck would come over. I was always working with them and talking to them. And I remember thinking, wow, I didn't really think there was that much of a role for Ryan Grant in the offense. But turns out maybe they had a premonition that they'd be without Jack Doyle and T.Y. Hilton, two of his most trusted targets. Obviously, Ebron's made a case for himself as being more reliable, but he's on the injury report with not one, not two, not three, but four body parts next to his name. Shin, quad, ankle, and knee. So yes,
is that bad? Because that sounds bad.
Yes, well, it's you know, it's all four things on the leg. That's all you need
lower
to know.
Lower body issue.
Yeah. So remains to be seen if he'll be available. We'll learn more this afternoon. But for me personally, it's Ryan Grant.
All right, how about the Jets running backs, Stefania? Because we don't know if Isaiah Crowell's going to play in this game.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced either so far because of an ankle issue. Obviously, he's been far more productive of late for them, so they would like to have him on the field. Unfortunately, you know, Friday, a lot of teams now are waiting. You get deeper into the season, they're just like rest during the week.
Yep.
So unless you've got a clue from the team already or there's been an injury that was very obvious that looked like it could be multi-week, they're not going to show their hand until Friday practice. So again, we're waiting to hear about that for Isaiah Crowell.
All right, keep an eye on that one. Yeah. If he does not play, then certainly Bilal Powell's value just escalates all the way up, probably to a top 20 running back play. Matthew,
And by the way, Bilal Powell, even with as good as Crowell has been, Bilal Powell is actually still getting more touches. I mean, everyone talks about, obviously, Crowell had that crazy 200-yard game last week. Powell still got 20 carries for 99 yards. I mean, you know, so, and now, obviously that was a game they were able to run effectively, but he's gotten more of the touches than Isaiah Crowell. And I agree with you. If Crowell were to miss, Powell's value would shoot up significantly. We didn't get into it with the Colts real quickly. I know, Stefania prefers Ryan Grant. I will say the Jets really struggle against the slot. Chester Rogers is somebody that is going to be my fantasy long shot on Sunday, just as a little heads up for those of you who are watching here. I do think Rogers has a nice game here as well.
We expect Quincy Newman to bounce back after a 0 on 5 targets last week. He remains, though, the Jets' most heavily targeted wide receiver and the one that Sam Darnold seems to still have the best rapport with. All right, Jets, Colts. Jets are favored by 2.5 points. Who are you going with, Matthew?
Give me the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets.
Starfanya?
I'm going to go with the Colts.
All right, I'll go with the Jets. How about you, Daniel?
I am also going with the Colts.
All right, there we go. An even split on this one. We'll continue with our game previews right after this.
Fantasy, you in the home 6-0-1-0.
All right, guys, and it is time for the final ZipRecruiter Fan of the Week from Jason Money.
This is Jason Money, the ZipRecruiter Smartest Fan of the Week. I'll give a shout-out to my fam in the Get Her Done League and to my buddies in the Fantasy Islander League. Yeah, I know this season hasn't been too great because, well, look at the mediocre advice I'm getting. But I'll be holding that black chalice once again. Now, back to the show.
Thank you to Jason Muddy. Congratulations on being the fan of the week. We go to Monday Night Football now. The 49ers at the Packers right here on ESPN.
Someone's supposed to
play. Hold on. There's so many buttons. I've got to drag things down. Oh, and
right here on ESPN.
Brutal.
If only
never happens when Tarika's here. Am I right or am I right, guys?
It never happens when Tarika's here.
If only you knew what was coming up next on the rundown.
I've got
rundown.
Three different faders, two different buttons. I'm going through two different programs to make all these things work.
To make it sound like it's important.
Fader, big word fader. According to Princeton over there. Alfred Morris could be filling in for Matt Breida on Monday, Stefania.
Or not.
See,
Phil and I, because we're in the same crew. We're in the same crew, so we're in sync like that.
Crew thing.
49ers coach Kyle Shanahan leaving
the
door open.
That is correct. He is the 49ers head coach.
He is indeed, and he's leaving the door open for Matt Breida, saying that I'm not ruling him out. He'll be day-to-day, still the same case, still keeping our fingers crossed for it. You know, he injured his ankle last week. The MRI came back. They reported that it was not a high ankle sprain, although it certainly looked like it could be a mechanism for that. It certainly kept him out of the remainder of the game. But I also heard that he was walking through the locker room yesterday, no noticeable limp, ankles wrapped, but not in any kind of protective device. So Matt Breida really trying to make the case for playing on Monday night.
All right, if he does not play on Monday night, we've all got Alfred Morris ranked accordingly as like a top 20 play. A top 20 player.
Yeah, we're ranking him as if Breida won't play.
Which because is exactly what I just said. If he doesn't play, Alfred Morris is ranked as a top 20 running back.
But I think it's worth talking about what happens if he does play. Okay. Yes?
It's where we're getting to if you just allow the train to stay on the tracks here. Yes, if he does not play, or if he does play, where would you accordingly rank Alfred Morris, Matthew?
No. You keep going. Choo-choo.
He did.
Keep that train
on
track.
Go.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Your turn.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. look, I like Morris here, okay? Like, I get it. It has been disappointing. What's exciting to me about is the fact the volume, 21 touches last week, at least 12 carries in 4 out of 5 games so far this season. I like the fact that he actually caught 3 passes on Sunday. We've talked a lot about on the show about how C.J. Beathard likes to target the running back and how significantly they have done that. Packers have struggled against the run so far. They allow the 7th most yards per carry after first contact this season. So I think if Matt Breida is not playing on Monday night, I think you see a lot of Alfred Morris and Kyle Juszczyk, who obviously got a lot of pass catches, caught a lot of passes last week against the Cardinals, and I think you'd see action for him. He's interesting in deeper PPR leagues.
Aaron Jones, we've gotten to the point now where we are not going to tell you to play him, even in a very favorable matchup. We have, all of us do, have him ranked outside of the top 30. If this becomes the breakout week, I will be less disappointed in myself for not ranking him as a top 20 play, and more excited that the breakout rate week has arrived, because we've all been waiting for it. Obviously, we've talked about it extensively. We know how Matthew feels here. We'll wait and see on Aaron Jones. But the wide receivers in Green Bay,
he will go off, and I'll tell you why.
Because you have him ranked higher.
Because I don't. Right. Because last week, I'm like, oh, this is the breakout game. This is the coming out party for Aaron Jones. And then of course they don't go to him. So now that I'm just like, you know what? All right. Apparently I was wrong on Aaron Jones. I still believe in his talent, but I like the cut of his jib. But Mike McCarthy does not agree with me, so I rank him low, and I just will have to wait and see. That means he will go off on Monday night.
Injury updates on these Packers wide receivers, Stefania. Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison both sat last week. It's early for a Monday night injury report, but what's our first forecast for those two players?
Well, Randall Cobb, limited in practice, so making his way back. Sounds like he has a real shot to go. Geronimo Allison has cleared the concussion protocol, according to Mike McCarthy, but does remain on the injury report with a hamstring issue. Still, I think they're encouraged about the potential for his availability. And Davante Adams, we obviously saw him play and play well despite being on the injury report last week. So all three of them could be available for Monday night. It actually sounds like Aaron Rodgers is feeling the worst. Between him and his receivers, took a hit. His knee came out of the game more sore, had tried going with a smaller brace, and is now potentially going back to the larger brace. You know, a lot of the quarterbacks don't like to wear the big braces, but frankly, Aaron Rodgers performed well in it before, and I think for his safety and protecting him, they may go to that one regardless. He's not in danger of missing the game. I just think it's worth noting.
Something to file away when you're watching the game on Monday night. Listen, if Randall Cobb plays and Geronimo Allison does not, it still seems like it's possible that Equanimeous St. Brown could be the third wide receiver in a perimeter wideout role as opposed to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We'll keep an eye on that as we get closer to Monday night. The Packers are 9.5-point favorites. Ugh. Ain't they cover? Yeah. Matthew?
I think that's a big number, so I'm going to take the 49ers. Stefania's 49ers here. I will say I think you see a lot of Jimmy Graham there instead of whether it's
one of the two rookies
as well. Even if Matt Breida is active, because we didn't actually get around to that, I will say that he's not somebody I feel comfortable starting. But as Stefania always talks about, especially with a Monday night game, Saturday is the key day for the Packers.
Except the Packers have a different practice schedule than everybody else. And I just confirmed it with Rob Domofsky about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, go ahead.
That they will actually shift their practice to Sunday this week. Because the Packers, you know how they don't have practice on Friday. They do Saturday because they like to do the day before. So I assumed, because that's a philosophical thing, that they would want to continue it for Monday night. He confirmed it. So Sunday will be the day. So you may not totally have your...
You picking your 49ers, Stefania?
You know, every time I pick them to cover, it doesn't quite happen. I'm going to go with the Packers and try the reverse psychology. I'll take one for the team, 49ers.
Daniel?
I will take one for you if you cover.
Well, since Stefania took the Packers, I will take the 49ers.
There you go. Rams.
So Thirsty Kyle points up Packers 31-17. Kyle, of course, is a big Packers fan. So there you go. He's taken to Green Bay to cover.
You know, last projection that Kyle made was the Packers beating the Lions.
You remember that? Remember that game, Kyle?
Yeah.
I remember that game.
What kind of voice is that?
Was like talking your little brother voice
there. Exactly. Daniel. I don't know.
The Rams go to Denver, where it's supposed to be about 20 degrees with snow on Sunday. But the real storyline going into this game, Stefania, is the health of Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp, who seem to be Brandon Cooks and Matthew's little Cooper Kupp, who seem to be making some strides on Thursday during practice.
Yes, Lindsay Theory posting a nice little video clip of both of them doing drills, running routes. You know, it's nice to see them that active. Again, non-linear.
Non-linear.
Right? Thank you. But
got that tattoo to my arm.
I know, which is great. I love that everybody's saying that. But it's important, right? Because it's a graded progression. Mm-hmm. And so doing what they were allowed to do, they look good, felt good. The only the interesting thing for me is I just wonder how altitude affects you. You know, depending how much altitude affects you anyway, sometimes there can be an adjustment for players. And if they're coming off a concussion, sometimes that can be they can be a little more sensitive to the altitude. So I'm going to stay obviously following this pretty closely, but Sean McVay very encouraged about what they're doing so far.
And Sean McVay, one of the more transparent head coaches when it comes to injury updates throughout the week. If either one of them sat, Josh Reynolds would be the deeper league streamer / flyer ad to note. Texas A&M product, 2017 draft pick, had 2 catches for 39 yards last week. Now they spread the football around as they are wont to do, but keep an eye on Josh Reynolds if you're looking for a last minute desperation play if Cook or Kupp sits out.
And by the way, they're supposed to go full in practice today, so this will be a good test for both those receivers.
It's worth noting that Reynolds last year when Watkins missed a couple of games, caught a touchdown. I know they like him. When I was talking to the Rams in the offseason, talking to some of their people in the front office, before they required Brandon Cooks and before they knew whether or not they were going to be able to retain Sammy Watkins, they were like, yeah, if for some reason if Watkins doesn't come back, we like Josh Reynolds a lot. We think there's something special with that kid. So I agree with you. I think he'd be very interesting if either one of those guys were to miss.
Philip Lindsay has played well for the Broncos, yet there are enough snaps being taken up by Devontae Freeman and Royce Freeman. The brothers Freeman, if you will.
Devontae Booker, you mean.
Devontae Booker and Royce Freeman. What's our confidence level here in Philip Lindsay this Sunday against the Rams, who Ndamukong Suh, the Rams' standout defensive lineman, said our run defense is terrible.
Yeah, and by the way, Ndamukong Suh is correct. I mean, well, hello. Fields just had a mic issue. And so... Yeah, I mean, Ndamukong Suh is correct. He's got a job as an NFL analyst here when he's done playing. Because the fact of the matter is the Rams are allowing a league-high a league-high 2.36 yards per carry after first contact. They're allowing teams to run, and they're not tackling particularly well. And so in a game field, as you mentioned, that's going to be very cold, that's going to have that they expect snow, 20 degrees, my expectation is that Broncos, who have run the ball really well this year, you know what I mean? Their offense has struggled because of Case Keenum, but when they've run the ball, they've run really well. Both Lindsay and Freeman are averaging, really, really nice numbers here, right? I mean, Lindsay's averaging 5.8 yards per carry so far. And so you think about the Rams, who are giving up 5 yards per carry this season. I think both guys get enough workload to be worthy of low-end RB2, high-end flex play consideration.
Marcus Peters recently referred to a phrase he's often lived by, which is bleep it, basically bleep it when it comes to the criticism and some of the noise that's being said about him right now. But the reason I mention that is he's really struggled, and the Rams are already without Aqib Talib. Demaryius Thomas had 105 receiving yards last week, but a lot of it came on a junk-time touchdown catch, which he just barely hauled in. How confident are we in Demaryius Thomas this week, Matthew?
Not super confident because of the weather, because it's been a tough year for Demaryius Thomas. If there's something to hang your hat on, it's that, look, yes, it was a lot on a junk time, but there's a chance against the Rams.
There's going to be
some junk time. And we think about that Kansas City Chiefs game as well. Again, he was wide open. If Case Keenum just makes an NFL throw, he waltzes into the end zone. And
Case
so
Keenum's like Eli Manning, just like a little bit better.
I mean, wow.
He stinks.
Wow. I don't know if that's a worse insult to Eli Manning or to Case Keenum.
Definitely Case Keenum. Did you watch Eli last night?
I did. I watched it all.
Ugh. To be honest, I thought it was you out there slinging passes.
I mean, honestly, as somebody who had Sterling Shepard going in a couple leagues, yeah, that was brutal to watch. And I'm sure everyone that had Odell, we will get into the Thursday night game on Monday. We'll recap that. I think he's a low end wide receiver too this week field. If there's a positive here, it's that, the Rams have, because of the injuries to their secondary as well, they have not been as dominant as we would have expected. But in a bad weather game and with a bad quarterback, you don't have a ton of confidence here.
Do the Rams cover 6.5-point favorites on Jared Goff's 24th birthday?
I believe they do. Give me the Rams.
I got the Rams as well. How about you, Stefania?
I'm going with the Rams.
Daniel?
Anything less than a touchdown, I'm always taking with the Rams.
Jared Goff turns 24, Stefania tells us about 23 and me.
Oh, damn.
You know,
Look at that segue.
That is professional hosting. So good.
Boom.
And on that note, 23andMe is a DNA testing service that can offer insights into your ancestry, health, wellness, and traits. The 23andMe Health and Ancestry service includes reports on how your DNA can influence your weight, sleep quality, caffeine intake, sense of taste, whether you are likely to be lactose intolerant, and more. It's easy to do, Matthew, even for you.
Hey, now.
You simply spit into the tube provided in your 23andMe kit and mail.
I know how to spit.
Mail your saliva sample back to the lab to be analyzed. The bitter taste report and sweet versus salty reports tell you DNA can play a role in determining your food preferences from sweet to salty to bitter. Sleep reports. The deep sleep report tells you if you're more likely to be an especially deep sleeper. The sleep movement report tells you how much you're likely to move during your sleep based on your DNA. The saturated fat and weight report tells you based on your genetics how your weight might be affected by saturated fats in your diet. And the lactose intolerance report sheds insight into how your genetics might affect your ability to digest dairy products. Order your 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service Kit at 23andme.com/FFF. That's the number 23andme.com/FFF.
Hey, is it time for a crappy promo yet?
Well, we can.
Yeah, can you do it?
You want to do it now?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Sure.
Why not?
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all-about-me promo.
I don't know if you guys remember, but in the first week of the season, the first column that I wrote in week one, I wrote the story about Travis Anderson, who is a 37-year-old fantasy football commissioner. He's a father of three, and he's recently been diagnosed with stage four brain cancer. And so I wrote about him, and the support that people sent to me on behalf of Travis was tremendous. A lot of people reached out saying they were touched by Travis's story and they wanted to know how they could help out. So anyway, Travis's family, he's doing well. He's, you know, awesome. Every day is a struggle, but he is he's doing well, and as well as can be given everything. But anyway, his family has set up a GoFundMe for Travis. And so if you are interested in helping him out, you can go to my Twitter page, and it's pinned to the top of my Twitter page. So there you go.
Nice.
Worthwhile cause there. We absolutely give our best to Travis, his family, and all those fighting the good fight. Cancer is a horrific ailment, and continue to wish all those that are inflicted by it and have been, and nothing but positive prayer sent your way.
Yeah, and just to give a quick shout out to when they read the story, the V Foundation reached out, and so Travis has been in touch with the V Foundation, and I won't get into any of the details, but just they've been very helpful. They've been very helpful. It continues to be a great organization, the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research.
Bills go to Houston to play the Texans. Let's start with LeSean McCoy. We discussed his value as the possibility of him not being a Bill yesterday, but he has a Bill for now against the Houston Texans run defense that last week actually played really well against Ezekiel Elliott. I think it was 20 carries for 46 yards. What's McCoy's value this week, Maddie?
About that. I'm at 22. I think his value is at running back 22. I mean, he's a low end RB2. You're encouraged by the volume from last week. But to your point, just 3.5 yards per carry. And the Texans have a pretty good defense, right? I mean, they're the fourth fewest yards per carry allowed this year, 3.44. They're one of just four defenses this year to get to allow multiple rushing touchdowns. They shut down Zeke last week as well. You know, it's been 102 touches, 102 long touches field since LeSean McCoy got into the end zone. And that's what I think you're going to need here for him to vault above anywhere in that 20 range. So you probably have to start him, but I don't know that you feel great about his chances of really going off here.
Sure don't feel great myself. Stefania, on the other side of it, Lamar Miller missed. Well, he was active, right, but did not play for the Texans. What do you expect this week? Will he even be healthy on the field?
Yeah, he was upgraded to full practice yesterday. Okay. I think he was really close. It was a question of, you know, he didn't do any.
Yeah,
and he didn't do anything all week. So right. I think he was there in sort of that emergency role. Something happened to Alfred Blue. They could have put him in. The fact that he's upgraded his practice early in the week, he'll be fine to go.
I call that the Ben Roethlisberger role, by the way, where he claims to be like.
Yeah, remember that?
You know, claims to be unable to play, like, you know, whatever. Has a knee that would, you know, force most players to retire. Probably won't play this Sunday.
And then
dresses, but isn't active, and then ends up replacing
Landry Jones
in
like 2 minutes.
Two minutes in. Yeah. That's the Ben Roethlisberger.
We all remember that.
Kiki Cutie, is he worth the flex look? He's been unbelievable over these past 2 weeks, Matthew, in terms of volume, productivity. He's been really good.
He's been terrific. I have him ranked as a wide receiver 4, and I might be too low on him, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's tough.
The expectation is because I need to see him do it in a game in which Will Fuller, I believe, is fully healthy. Because last week, I know he was active,
He was fully healthy last week.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. Will Fuller is not like... Will Fuller's a guy I have in leagues. I'm still starting him. But, like, the fully healthy, like, the impression he's past this, he's not. He stays on the injury report. They're limiting him in practice. He's had a hamstring injury since the preseason. Remember the prior week I told you when he came out of the game, it wasn't because he had a setback, but I think he's functioning. You know, we talked about Leonard Fournette being, like, maybe 80%, but he can't go full go, so that's why they keep having these problems. I think Will Fuller is sort of functioning in that margin as well, where he's pretty good. He's good enough to play. He's going to be out there, but... there's a chance, you know, he's not 100%. So I think that's why Kiki Cutie, not only was he able to get some run, but he was able to prove himself. So it's a little trickier.
He's a talented young player, and of the three of us, I actually ranked him the highest. But I have him at 36, which is in wide receiver 4 territory. So in terms of trust, no. I mean, I think all of us have Will Fuller ranked ahead of Kiki Cutie. It will take... I need one more game before I'm willing to put him automatically as a starter, but I certainly think in deeper leagues he makes sense as a flex play, as somebody who's sort of, I'm guessing he's fairly cheap on DFS sites as well. So that's how I sort of see him as kind of a low-end wide receiver 3, high-end wide receiver 4.
Feels like a big number for the Texans, who are 2-3, and both of those wins came in overtime. They're 7.5-point favorites against the Bills. I'm going with the Texans. Daniel, how about you?
Yeah, Phil, I appreciate you coming to me because I don't stall when I'm trying to make my picks like some of these other people do. So I'm also going to take the Texans.
Except you just did, to give that disclaimer.
How about you, Stefania?
I'm going to give the Texans.
Okay, Matthew, who do you got?
The truth of the matter is that when I stall, I'm pondering all possibilities.
Does it not count if you say the truth of the matter is rather than the fact of the matter?
The truth of the matter is, I'm not some Johnny shoot from the hip like you, Secret Squirrel, where I don't think about anything. Where I'm just
like,
hey,
with your record, you know what I'm saying, Matthew?
Hey, yo!
I'm better than you! I'm better than you!
Who's your pick?
Yeah. I forgot. Now I'm picking the Bills. 7.5 is a big number. I'm taking the Bills.
All right, the Chiefs.
Bill, nobody circles the wagons. Stephen Hoschka for president.
Hoschka, thank you. Yeah. He's from Needham, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Nope, Stephen Hoschka for president. It's a different guy.
He's
a buddy of mine.
The Chiefs at the Patriots this Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. 59.5 points. A massive over-under. Pound the over. Pound it. Kyle ran a poll last night, and the question was, it's a DFS question. Brady and White, James White, have the same collective cost as Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt. Who would you take if you could stack those two, understanding they're the exact same price? The Twitter masses voted, and their answer was Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt, 56% to 44%. The slight edge there for Kansas City. I'm going to ask one quick health question, and then we're going to cut to the heart of this. Chris Hogan missed practice on Thursday, Stefania. He did not, as far as I know, have any limitations on Wednesday. This, to me, feels like a red flag.
Yeah, he was listed as limited on Wednesday. He actually didn't practice yesterday, and I think there's reason to be concerned, not only because he's banged up and he hasn't been that involved in the offense, but I think you're going to see yet a more, and I know they're not the same player, but you're going to see a more expanded role for Josh Gordon.
Yep. Stefania, that's part of the equation here for the Patriots, and they're thinking when acquiring Josh Gordon, understanding it was going to take some time to get him up to speed. He himself has been limited all week with that hamstring issue, so he's not 100%. I think there's a chance, though, that this is the week where his snap count goes up in a more precipitous way than it did from his first game to his second game. So the question is this. Is there any player amongst the notable fantasy commodities on either team that you're not playing in this game on Sunday, Matthew? I think the only two options would be, I guess, Sammy Watkins or Josh Gordon. Like, are you playing Josh Gordon? Might be the only question here. Because everybody else you're playing. Kareem Hunt, Gronk, Patrick Mahomes, Brady.
Look, obviously it depends on your options. But I have Josh Gordon in a 12-team league and I'm playing him. A 12-team 3 wide receiver league, I'm playing him. Now, that's the league that's the staff league. And Matt Bowen put up 40 on me last night because he's got Saquon Barkley. So I need to sort of swing for the fences. So I'm starting Josh Gordon against him. But if Hogan were to miss this game, that's certainly encouraging there. And we talked about this a little bit with Gordon. This is now his fourth week with a team. He's increased his snaps the two games he's played. They played Thursday night in their last week, so he's had 10 days to sort of prepare for this. And because when you think about matching the firepower of the Kansas City Chiefs, you want as many weapons out there as possible. Yeah, it is risk reward, no doubt about it, but I'm starting Josh Gordon this week.
All right, the Patriots are 3.5-point favorites in this game. Really difficult one here. Matthew, who are you taking? And do not you darn filibuster. Don't do it.
I'm not going to filibuster. I don't like filibustering. I don't think it's fair to say what I do is filibustering, honestly.
I'll take the
Chiefs. Daniel's got the Chiefs. Stefania, who do you got? 3.5-point. So you're saying they cover?
Yes.
Stefania?
The Chiefs are getting 3.5.
I know.
They are, yeah.
The Chiefs are getting three and a half, so I'll take the Chiefs.
Matthew?
I will take the Chiefs as well.
I think the Patriots win this game close, but I think the Chiefs cover. That's my final. I know it's really hard.
I feel like it's going to be
difficult.
Whoever holds the ball last is the winner.
That could be
right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And any concerns on Sony Michel either, who showed up on the injury reports?
It goes back to my original preseason. I think there's some longer term concerns about him, but not so much for this week.
Cool.
So I'm doing a lot of features with the team website, which you don't often see for a player that might not be available that Sunday.
Again,
just to sort of further the conference.
A little more predictable if you pay close attention.
The Panthers at the first place Washington Redskins this Sunday.
That's right, baby. First place. Woohoo!
First place Washington Redskins.
Among the last placers.
I mean, although.
Probably the most injury concerns on this game out of any so far. We've got Greg Olsen and then also the two Washington running backs.
Yeah. So Greg Olsen, great news. I think I'm excited to see him come back this week. All signs pointing to him coming back. Ron Rivera talking about him coming back. So unless there's a surprise, I expect to see Greg Olsen take the field this week. On the Washington running back side of the ball, if you watch this game, and I know someone in the room watched it closely, but watching it on TV.
Some people actually paid money and traveled a long distance to watch that in person.
I'm sorry. But
yeah.
Especially because the injury things. I thought Adrian Peterson was potentially out for, I thought he was going to be out for weeks with a big injury when he had that knee hyperextension. It was a scary looking thing. And then when he left the game, he came back and then he left again. But you know why he left? Because he dislocated his shoulder on the opposite side. That was actually the bigger injury. Very tough guy. It sounds like he's going to do everything he can to play, but he's not necessarily going to be 100%. Really worried about Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson was struggling already in that game before he took that big hit that blew him up at the end with the rib injury. And he's been limited in practice this week, but with him just getting so banged up at the end, I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Thompson does not play.
All right, if he doesn't play, Matthew, that's Capri Pibbs time, I suppose.
It certainly is, and especially when you think about Stefania saying maybe limited, I don't want to say limited snaps for Adrian Peterson, but maybe not the full complement, the full workload that we were used to seeing with Peterson here against a Carolina Panthers run defense that's eighth in the NFL. So, I mean, it's a good run defense, and so you think about this Carolina Panthers defense that allows 8.8 yards per completion to running backs, that's 10th highest in the NFL, that is allowing a touchdown on a league-high 9.1% of running back targets, a very small sample size, but it does seem like when it comes to the running back position, it's so far this year, it's been easier to move the ball against the Panthers through the air with your running backs than it has been up the middle. And so with Adrian Peterson not 100%, if Chris Thompson doesn't play, I do think Capri Bibbs becomes a very viable flex play. And what should be a reasonably high scoring game? What's the over under on this game?
It is 44.5.
44.5.
Yeah,
huh?
That's a pretty low.
I might
low
take the
number.
Over. I don't know that I agree with that, but number. So I might take the over there.
In any event, anyway. We should get some more clarity on the Redskins running backs by Friday afternoon when Jay Gruden has his press conference. I'm sort of working my way through stuff in here. But for the Panthers, we talked about Greg Olsen, the likelihood that he returns a little bit earlier on in the week. We all have him ranked outside the top 10, which when Greg Olsen plays, we normally would not have him ranked there. But in a tight end wasteland, which is really what the position is, Matthew highlighted Nick Vanette as a sleeper earlier on in the show.
I put Olsen in one of my lineups.
Yeah, you're going to have very few options that are better than Greg Olsen if you don't already roster someone like Gronk or Kelsey or Zach Ertz.
I just feel like it feels like every time he comes back, he gets hurt. I mean, like,
well,
let's
be fair. Recency bias. This is only in the last year that the guys had injuries.
I understand, but I mean, like, last year he got hurt, and then he came back, and then he immediately got hurt again, and then this year he comes back and he gets hurt again. I mean, his number of games completed is not particularly strong in over the last 8 games he's played.
Fair.
You know,
I
mean,
think there's a risk of re-injury here. Yeah. That's fair.
Redskins return to home. 44.5 points is the over-under. The Redskins are 1.5 point favorites. Taking the Panthers. Sorry, Matt.
Yeah, sorry. I think they're going to be without some weapons, and Carolina's upbeat. And take the Panthers.
I'm taking the Panthers as well. I was shocked to see the Redskins favorite in this game.
Yeah, remember, these lines can often be set before Monday Night Football. Right. Daniel, right. What do you got?
I am also taking the Panthers.
There you have it. Steelers go to Cincinnati in an AFC North game that is very important here. Road Ben, it's been a thing for a long time, but he's been sort of better against or on the road so far this season. He just hasn't been very good in the division so far. That's been his real, thorn in his side. 2 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions in 2 division games so far this year. How confident are you?
I'm not super confident. Oh, look, and I could be dead wrong on this because both defenses have struggled here, right? Cincinnati's 21st against the pass so far this season. They're, they've struggled. But, and the over-under in this game is 53. But I'm taking the under in this game. I feel like these are 2 teams that hate each other. This is a divisional battle. It always feels like Bengals Steelers is a slugfest. And so I understand what the numbers say. So this is entirely a gut call that I feel like this is a low scoring game that features the running backs. I think it's a lot of James Conner and Joe Mixon. And so I have Big Ben and Andy Dalton outside my top 10.
Interesting. Okay. Now,
you disagree?
I don't disagree. I have Dalton at 10 and Roethlisberger at 13 this week. But to your point about it being a run heavy game, you do have Tyler Boyd ranked 15, which is highest amongst all of us. I've got him at 24, Stefani at 22. People are wondering, hey, 2 weeks in a row, 3 weeks in a row, he was awesome. Last week he goes 4 for 44. You feel confident in Tyler Boyd though against this really bad Steelers defense.
Especially given how much they struggle in the slot. My expectation is that Joe Hayden will try to shadow A.J. Green. Now, remember last week, they did move A.J. Green into the slot more than they have previously this season to try to avoid Xavien Howard. So you'll see some Joe Hayden on A.J. Green. But I still think, at least 50% of the slot snaps are going to go to Tyler Boyd. He has at least 7 targets in 4 straight games. He is leading the Bengals in targets over that stretch. He's top 15 in the NFL in terms of targets. So the volume has always been there for Tyler Boyd so far this season. And then the Steelers really struggle against the slot. They allow the second highest completions to the slot so far this season. I just feel like Boyd is somebody that has been candidly matchup proof, especially when I expect to see shadow coverage of Joe Hayden on A.J. Green, Boyd maybe get a little bit more love this season as well. But Tyler Boyd can have a very good game, and Andy Dalton and Ben Roethlisberger can still finish outside the top 10.
Bengals are 2.5.
Because I have Antonio Brown, obviously, as a top pick, and I still have Ben outside the top 10.
I do as well. The Bengals are 2.5 point favorites here. Stefania, I think the Steelers win this one. What do you got? I think the Steelers cover and win.
Yeah, it feels like
feel like Cincinnati defense comes up big. I'm going to take the Bengals.
Daniel.
I'm going to take the Bengals.
Matthew.
I am as well. I'm taking the Steelers. I don't think the Bengals the Bengals are 2.5 point favorites. So for the Bengals to win by 3,
field goal.
Where's that bone? Where's that dog toy bone? Where's the Bengal bone?
It's over in the corner.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I was just going to hand it to you. All right.
Chargers go to Cleveland to take on the Browns. The Browns who are 2-1. For LA, I think one of the questions that's coming up a lot is like, can you flex or should you be flexing Austin Ekeler? He has a 20-yard gain in every game so far this season, but the volume is pretty insignificant, especially with the way that Melvin Gordon is playing. Ekeler make your flex radar, Matthew?
No. I mean.
Close to it, though.
Yeah, close to it. I mean, I have him at 35, so running back 4. So it depends on what other options you have. Like, I don't think it's a terrible option there. Look, to your point, over 12.5 fantasy points in 4 of 5 different games this season, you expect them to move the ball against the Browns, honestly. But I think this is a big Melvin Gordon game. So I think I have him just outside of flex range for me. But, yes, no question about it. If you're sitting there, you're a little bit desperate and you're looking around, I don't think Austin Ekeler puts up a 0. Like, I don't think he's going to kill your week.
Yeah, he's too involved, and they do find touches for him every single week. So that's why he's on the flex radar. Mike Williams kind of fallen off that flex radar, by the way. He's in the 40s for each of us, a wide receiver 5, just 15 catches so far. We love the player, and we think he's got some red zone ability. But for now, with the way this offense is operating, Mike Williams is nothing more than a true dart throw in a large league. But Baker Mayfield's a really interesting name here. We don't have him as a starter this week, Matthew, but could you talk yourself into it?
100% I could talk myself into it.
Oh, okay.
I'm as QB 15 this week, so I am as a mid-tier QB 2. So depending on the size of your league, depending on what your situation is, maybe you don't have Matthew Stafford this week, you don't have Drew Brees, you're looking around, somebody beat you to Winston on the waiver wire, you're not like, I can't go to Bortles, I can't go to Bortles land. Yeah, absolutely. Chargers are allowing the fourth most yards per catch after reception this season. And over the last 2 weeks, when Mayfield has been the starting quarterback, Brown's actually sixth in the NFL in yards per catch after reception. They've been able to get those guys into space and get some big plays here. And so the Chargers defense, which coming into the season, we all expected to be one of the elite defenses in the NFL, has been inconsistent, I think is a fair way to say. They're 21st in scoring defense. In terms of, you know, the most just NFL points that they give up, honestly. So I thought this was a good stat that Thirsty Kyle pulled about Baker Mayfield. So here's the list over the last 2 weeks, obviously, then when Baker, the sample size of when Baker Mayfield's been the starting quarterback of the Browns. Last 2 weeks, here's the entire list of players that have at least 40 pass attempts, at least 295 passing yards, and at least one passing touchdown each of the last 2 weeks. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, and Baker Mayfield. Pretty good list to be on. Not cool, Keith. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that list.
Yeah, there you go.
So, not bad. So, not bad. We've got him at 15 for Matthew. Stefania at 16. I have got him at 17. And David Njoku's been a beneficiary of Baker Mayfield. He has seen the ball more frequently with Baker than he did with Tyrod Taylor. He's got 11 catches on 17 targets over the past 2 weeks, compared to 9 catches on 16 targets in his first 3 games, which puts him on that sort of, you know, potential starting tight end radar. You know, the Browns have a lot of potential pass catchers opposite of Jarvis Landry. Just a note that Rashard Higgins has been pretty good for them. Probably not going to play in this game. People are wondering, could Antonio Callaway be back on the radar? Like, good luck if you want to start Antonio Callaway. I think Derek Willis. Am I pronouncing that last name right, Keith?
You are.
Willis.
Yes.
Has a chance. He's a big-bodied wide receiver, not the fastest guy in the world, but he might actually be the next wide receiver besides Jarvis Landry to make an impact for the Browns. Callaway's the deep threat, but we've seen some inconsistent play from him.
But what's been amazing, Field, is that even though we've seen this inconsistent play, the volume continues to be there for Antonio Callaway. And so in a game in which I think the Browns are going to have to score to keep up with the Chargers, because we all like Rivers and we all think the Chargers offense obviously going to be able to move the ball here, I do think, look, it is the ultimate boom bust. It is, I'd be curious what IBM Watson thinks the boom bust here is. I mean, cause it's probably like a super wide range on Antonio Callaway. But I think he's a low end. He's a poor man's version of Josh Gordon from a fantasy perspective, in that all he needs is one play and they are going to take a few deep shots to him. So it depends on sort of how lucky you feel and what your situation is. But, I do think Callaway's worthy of consideration just because of the amount of pass attempts I expect to happen, and no Higgins.
I will say 20.8% chance to boom, according to Watson. 24.5% chance to bust.
Wow.
In that range of 5 points to 15 points. So
Chargers, there you go. Wide range.
Chargers are a half point favorite in this game. I got the Browns. Give me the Browns, Keith. Give me the Browns.
Wow.
Matthew?
Half point, right? Just a half point. Ooh, so it's really a pick 'em. That's what those half points mean.
The Browns are so confident they're giving points away to the Chargers.
Who you got, Daniel?
I'm taking the Chargers.
I'm taking the Chargers as well. Bolt up.
Chargers.
Go Chargers, go.
Bears off a bye, go to Miami to play the Dolphins.
Never do that again?
Please don't ever do that again.
You know, give me 1 second, Field. I'll make you a deal. I'll make you a deal right now, me and you. I'm looking at you, Secret Scroll, right here, into your soul.
Yep, I see it.
I will
okay.
make a solemn swear
I like where you're
on
at.
The lives of my daughters
okay.
to never do my bad Arnold Go Chargers Go impression again.
I don't like where this is heading. I know where this is going.
If you promise never to do the hamstring again.
Nope. I already did it.
Okay. Moving on. We got to go.
But go Chargers Go.
Bears at Dolphins. This game is in Miami. Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen seemingly in good spots. We want to see Jordan Howard get involved again. There's been all kinds of weird speculation about his fit in this offense recently, but we all still have him ranked inside our top 20 amongst running backs this week, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the bigger question here is Tariq Cohen, who had, you know, obviously a really nice game just before the bye in that huge game where Trubisky throws six touchdown passes. Miami's got a much better defense, obviously, than Tampa Bay, but you can run on them. They're 20th against the run, and so on the road at Miami, I do expect a heavy workload for Jordan Howard, who through the first 3 weeks had at least 21 touches per game. Week four, obviously, was that Trubisky explosion, and that was kind of the exception. They were on a bye last week. So, yeah, we think Howard gets back to workhorse back levels.
Pretty solid start to the season for Allen Robinson. 7-plus targets or a touchdown in all four games this season. Any concerns? Maybe Xavier Howard gets involved in the coverage scheme, and that might be something that scares you away a little bit, Matthew, or no?
A little bit, yeah. He's just outside my top 20. He made the hate list, which is always about expectations in terms of projections. So I think he falls short of his projections this week. I do think Xavier Howard is going to cover him as well. Mike Clay, who does such a great job with the wide receiver cornerback matchup column, has him projected as shadowing here. Allen Robinson, Dolphins top 10 in terms of deep completion percentage against, deep touchdowns against, deep interceptions. You know, the Bears ranked 25th in pass percentage this season. So I just think given this matchup, I think it is a heavy run game. I think it's a lot of Howard and Cohen. I don't know that the volume is going to be there, and it's going to be super successful for Robinson. You're hoping he gets into the end zone here is basically what I think it boils down to. He's just outside my top 20.
I know that Matthew has no strong opinion on this. I'm going to ask you instead, Stefania. What's Kenyon Drake's value for this weekend against the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I'll sit this one out. Yeah. I think people at this point know my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think you can trust him right now. And I think I will just say it more succinctly is that I just don't think you can trust him.
It's a fair way of putting it. We've got him inside our flex consideration, but that's about it even after a good game last week. Bears are favored by 2.5 points on the road. I got the Bears going to Miami and winning this game and covering. Matthew.
Bear down.
Stefania.
Bears.
Take the Bears.
The Jaguars go to Dallas to play the Cowboys. You know, there are a lot of games where you can see yourself talking yourself into starting Blake Bortles, but this week, not necessarily one of them in your mind, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm not crazy. Well, actually, I mean, I don't like either of these guys, either Dak or Bortles, but Bortles made the hate list this week. You know, the fact is that Dallas is good against running quarterbacks. They've their defense actually is good, and we've just, you know, we're coming off a game where we saw a bad Blake. And we also saw, you know, a lot of junk time scoring. I don't know that you see a lot of junk time scoring because I don't think Dallas has the kind of offense that gets, you know, that sort of explodes and that all of a sudden Blake's going to have to, you know, play catch up. I think this is a low scoring game. The over under in this game is 40.5 field.
Yeah, it's like, a low one. I mean, it's low.
So yeah, I don't have Bortles having a big game against the Cowboys in what should be a low scoring game. I think it's a lot of Ezekiel Elliott and TJ Yeldon here.
Yeah, a lot of TJ Yeldon. This is a note for people that might get confused. Leonard Fournette is actually out at Jaguars practice today, but no, he has been ruled out. This is no change.
He's been ruled out. Right.
This is just him getting some work in. Of course, sometimes the bigger picture is important to keep in mind. Ezekiel Elliott is all that Dallas has to offer. We have said that basically every single week, and until something changes, we'll probably say exactly that. Jaguars are 2.5 point favorites on the road. I've got the Jaguars. How about you, Matthew?
Yeah, I will take Jaguar up, and I will just say that if you're starting a Jaguars wide receiver, I still think it's D.D. Westbrook in this particular game. He would be the guy. He's a wide receiver four for me.
Stefania?
I'm crazy to go with the Cowboys.
Yeah, you
Why
are.
Why not?
I know. It's really like it's all the wrong reasons, like emotional, whatever. Despite the play calls at the end of last week that were controversial, I'll have to go with the Cowboys.
All right, last. Oh, Daniel.
I'll take the Jaguars.
The Jaguars for Daniel. Last pick here. Cardinals at Vikings. This game is in Minnesota. Biggest line of the week with the Vikings favored by 10.5 points. Stefania, good news for Minnesota is that Dalvin Cook was upgraded. Well, I say good news. I'll let you decide if it's good news or not. But he was upgraded to full participation in practice on Thursday because of that hamstring issue.
Yeah, but it's interesting. So Courtney Cronin does such a great job covering the Vikings and literally just sent me a text saying he's doing side work this morning. So he's not doing everything that you would expect. You know, a little concern if you're doing rehab stuff, but it's also, she says it's very, very cold there. Maybe it's part of like getting him warmed up and loose. The anticipation is even though he's doing more, he may not yet be 100%. So the notion that he would just go out with that full workload this week, I still think that you have to be a little bit concerned about that. This is a tough call for if you have Dalvin Cook on your roster, right? Because You don't want the run game has been poor to begin with. Mm. He has not been himself since he had the hamstring issue. And you just don't know what kind of workload you're going to see and how much you can trust
him. You know, the saving grace might be this. It's the worst run defense in football right now. Eight rushing touchdowns. That's the most in the NFL so far this season. They're bad on a per-carry basis. Arizona just not a great defensive matchup, or I should say is a great defensive matchup for Dalvin Cook. David Johnson to the side of the ball, Stefania. I get to say this. As much as people have been down on him, I can say this stat again. 16 plus points in four of his five games this year.
Well, at least it seems like they are actually getting the ball to him more. Yeah. You know, for what that's worth, he is actually touching the ball more in the last couple of games. He managed to get into the end zone the first couple of games, even when he wasn't touching the ball that much. So it kind of bailed you out. But now there's actually a little bit more volume of work. So a little bit more confidence. I mean, certainly if you have him, you're starting him.
Matthew, the last time we had a massive Vikings line, they laid an egg against the Bills.
Hey, yep.
10.5-point favorites. This time, I think that does not happen this time. I got the Vikings covering. How about you?
Wow, 10.5 is a lot. But, the Cardinals are just not very good.
But also, it sounds like it's cold there. But they're indoors. I know. But still. I don't like going to the hotel. Just walking around, looking out, seeing snow. Give me the Vikings.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to take the Cardinals here, Field.
There you go. Daniel, you frisky squirrel, you. Matthew, who you got?
I'm taking the Cardinals as well.
That's right.
Even split. Good opportunity for someone to make up some ground.
Now, you know what? Actually, I take that back. Screw it. I'm taking the Vikings.
Oh my God.
Call that peer pressure in the biz, shit. Daniel. What do you got for us?
ZipRecruiter.com/fan. If you guys want to be the ZipRecruiter smartest fan of the week next week, if you had to choose one member of the 0600 to be your tag team partner in a wrestling match, who would you choose and what would their wrestling name be? We will pick that next Wednesday. ZipRecruiter.com/fan.
Ever we choose gets the winner of Taker and Kane versus Shawn Michaels and Triple H, a much anticipated upcoming tag team match in the WWE. The return of the Generation X.
I know everyone's not going to vote for me. I just want everyone to understand that what I would do is I would talk to the other wrestlers. I would just annoy them to the point where they would just leave. I have skills that you don't understand.
You have a very special set of skills.
Okay. We are back on Monday. In the meantime, Stefania's injury column will be out on Saturday. Check out her concussion protocol feature.
Thank you, guys.
Go to her Twitter feed. If you have not yet seen it, it is worth the 6 minutes and 9 seconds of your time that it will cover. Matthew has, I think, a...
Or you can go to the Answering the Bell podcast and hear the more
Answering
detailed
the
conversation
Bell
with Dr. Sears.
Yep. Matthew, before Fantasy Football Now on Sunday from 10 to 1, do you have anything going on, Fantasy Show?
Fantasy Show streaming on ESPN Plus right now, so the love-hate column. And so the love-hate episode of the Fantasy Show is up on ESPN Plus right now, as is the love-hate column. It's on ESPN.com right now, so check that out.
It's back.
For week number 6.
You want good social media, find me on Twitter at Field Yates. He's Matthew Berry, TMR everywhere except for the Fantasy Life app. He's just Matthew Berry. She's Stefania _ESPN and Stefania B87 on Instagram. Talk to you Monday.
Peace out!
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre